The title of the sermon today is Choose. It's not choice. I want you to do something today. I want you to choose. And by the way, you will. Whether I plead with you or not, you will make a choice today. You will have to. You've had to make it just to get here. But I want you to know that it's a choice. And this week's been a great week for Hope and I. It's been our 21st anniversary. And we thank you, by the way, for the cards and the sweet words. As I look through and see people here that wrote to me, I thank you. Encourage me in my marriage to my dear wife. We celebrated last Friday, actually. It was Thursday, but I had school and all those things, and kids had school, but Friday we celebrated. It went out all night. We were out all night. Didn't even come home. It's been, Hope and I talked so much about our life and just how fast it's gone. This 21 years has gone by just like that. We've had a marriage. We've had children. We've had sicknesses. We've had death. We've bought homes. We've sold homes. We've been promoted. We've been called into the ministry. We are going to school. And I don't know what else is next. But it's right around the corner. It's marching on. And relationships. I'm going to talk a lot about relationships. I thought I was going to preach about marriage, but then I changed my mind on that. I think the Lord changed my mind. We're about to find out. Relationships are costly. Relationships are worth it. I heard a guy that had to go to the Toys R Us late at night just before they closed because his little girl's birthday was the next day. She wanted a Barbie doll. And so he ran in there, just a few minutes left. He got there and he said, "Clerk, I need your help." And they stood in front of the Barbie dolls. And he says, "Well, this is the winter Barbie doll. She's got all her winter clothes. It's $25. Over here is spring Barbie. Over here is like Cinderella doll. Like, all of them $25. And then over here it was divorced Barbie. $265. It came with Ken's house, Ken's boat, Ken's car, Ken's everything. Relationships are costly. If you don't pick right, you might be picking out a divorced Barbie. That would be horrible. Hope and I talked about such things this week. Why? Why us? In tears. Why us? Why so much grace? Why God would choose us? Why God would do so much love to us? Relationships are incredible. How close they get and endearing. I'm so glad God made marriage. It's so wonderful. I was rooming with a good buddy of mine this last week. We went to the week before, to mission trip. And chaplain in Texas says he was on chaplain when a house caught fire. He was on the fire department chaplain, and the firemen got there and they could see the young about 8-year-old boy in the window pounding on the window, rolled it up, yelling for help, and they got the ladder up there. Policeman was there. Policeman started climbing up the ladder, and they said, no, you can't do that. Grabbed him, said, "That thing place is on fire. You don't have the gear on." And, of course, they got all their masks on. They're ready to go. They can't hear them. They get the hose ready to rescue this kid when the policeman's already halfway up there doing fireman's job. They hose him down. They hose him right off of the ladder. He hits the ground, pulls his gun out, and shoots the captain on the fire department. Thankfully, he doesn't kill him. They really hose down the policeman and roll them around the yard a little bit until they can get them handcuffed by another policeman. That night, they rescued the boy. That night, they had a debriefing, and I'm talking about some firemen that were angry. Their captain's fighting for his life in the hospital. And they get there. Joe Taylor is the chaplain, and he's to stand at the door and not let anybody in. he stands at the door as the fire department's there, and the captain on and the chief of the fire department's there, when the chief of the police department shows up. And Joe says, "I'm sorry, chief, you can't come in." He says, "I'm coming in." He said, "Chief, I can't let you in." He says, "You'll let me in right now." So he comes in there with the chief, and the other chaplain says, "Joe, you're not supposed to let him in." "Well, he told me he had to come in." And he stood before those men and says, "Men, I'm sorry for my man, but you need to know that was his boy. That was his kid." True story. You see, relationships are, they're tough, and they're going to cost us. And I'm here to tell you that God has a love for you, and he wants a relationship with you. And today we're going to talk about relationships. And what really is the choice we have? Hope and I want so bad to put on the brakes on our life. We talked about that. We just slow it down. But you know what happens when you slow it down? It passes you right by. And so we stay engaged with the flow of traffic of our life, which seems pretty fast right now. And we try to squeeze as much out of it as we can, knowing that change is right around the corner, that our house is going to get less and less occupied, that parents cannot live forever, that children cannot stay children forever, that bodies begin to ache and healing in much slower pace than I'm used to. And my physical prime, well, it's past. I still got a little bit, but not like I used to. But if I have really watched, and hope if we've really watched, the Lord has brought us through so much. And he's given us so much wonderful things. And I think of that, and I look to the future with anticipation. He's never failed me. It just seems like he's got one better thing coming all the time. And he will guide us through by his grace as we face this life, hope. Not an uncertain future, however. We are not looking to an uncertain, scary future. We all know where it ends. It ends in the arms of the Lord Jesus. And so, marching on, it's a joyful time to have a time with your wife and just say, "Let's move on. Let's go on. This is what's ahead of us." I hope you have those kind of times with your wife, with your husbands. Hope and I have been so blessed in our marriage, and I thought I was going to speak about marriage today, but this scripture caught my eye. It should catch my eye. It's on my front door. It's Joshua, the 24th chapter. Would you stand with me as we read this? What a great piece of scripture. A lot of history of this. I can't go in all the history. I'd love to. I love the history of this. Verse 14, chapter 24, verse 14 through 20, I'm sorry, through 15. Just two verses. "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Lord, we thank you so much for the courage of Joshua. I want to thank you for the words of your holy scriptures, that, Lord, today we will make a choice. Lord, whether it's to choose you or something else, but we're going to make it. And Lord, I pray that you would direct us. May you give us a clear picture of the choice. That, Lord, we would look at it from the beginning to the end. And that we would choose you today. In Jesus' name, amen. I did have to ask this week, why? Why so much blessing? Hope and I do that a lot. Why so much happiness? Why so much peace and joy? It's not because we have had no problems. It's not because things haven't come knocking on our door. It's not because the death angel hasn't visited us. But why? I'd love to tell you that, you know, I was walking through Dogskin Ridge and I looked under a rock and there was this golden tablet. And it had the 7 secrets to a fulfilled life. No such thing out there, brothers and sisters. It's simply, actually more simple than that. It's a choice that we get to make. First, I tell you, for Hope and I, it's grace. I can't go any farther without saying first about grace. The grace of God in calling me out of the world and choosing me to be a subject of his unconditional love at 21 years old. God loved me. I was frostbitten with self-righteousness. I was cold. I didn't know the Lord. And he softened my hard heart. And he placed me in the secure arms of the Almighty. What a day that was. But this scripture is about after God has chosen and delivered you. This scripture is asking you whom you are going to choose to serve each and every day. And yes, God has chosen you and called you and brought you out of a life of slavery. That's what we're talking about here. These Israelites have already seen all the way. The most incredible time to be alive as an Israelite was in this time, in this era. To leave at 15 years old, this group, to leave Egypt under the mighty hand of God, you got to see it all. What an incredible moment. They were taken through all this. They were taken out of slavery. They walked through the Dead Sea on dry ground. They went by Mount Sinai and trembled and got to see the holiness of God and that the mediator must be between them and God. They got to see manna fall from heaven, water from a rock, the healing of a bronze serpent, and they crossed the Jordan on dry ground at flood stage. They watched their enemies fall before them, and now they are living the blessings of God. And this is where this question is asked. Who are you going to serve today? And isn't that not our life? Have you been taken out of slavery? Oh, yes, you have. Have you not seen the deliverance of the Lord in your life? And you said, there's no way it could have been me. It was God alone. There's no way. And you walked through that on dry ground. You walked by and you saw the tremble, and you trembled at the holiness of God, and you praised that Jesus was between you and him. He gave you food when you didn't think you'd get any. He fed your soul. And he brought you through a wilderness. And you crossed into the promised land because you were led by Joshua, Josiah, Jesus, your Savior. And now you sit. You live in homes that you did not build. You're eating food that you did not provide. God has done it all. And today, I ask you, before God is my witness, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve? You have a choice today. It's at this point that God causes you to choose. What are you going to do? Are you going to forget his benefits and choose something else? Well, we see here, first of all, my first point is it's a personal choice. Do you see that? It says here in verse 15, he says, and if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself. It's a personal choice. No one can choose for you. I thought my mom and dad could, but they can't. I had to choose the Lord. It had to be a personal thing on my part. Now, we don't choose to be born or what parents we'll have or when we're going to die nor the circumstances of our death. We make our choices and then our choices make us. Let me read that again. We make our choices and then our choices make us, Christian. Our choices produce acts which produce character, and character eventually becomes permanent. Please listen. Are you serving him today? This morning, are you going to consider life's greatest choice? As important as some of these choices are, a vocation, our education, a husband, a wife, these are huge, but none of them are greater than this choice. And we find it in Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 22, and it says this, what will you do with Jesus who is called the Christ? What are you going to do with him? What is this choice? This is a life's greatest choice because it doesn't just affect us in this lifetime only, but in eternity. Notice that Joshua gives several options. By the way, you have many choices today. But really, he takes them down to just two here, other than the Lord. He says this. What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to serve the God of our fathers across the river? He's not talking about the Jordan. He's talking about the Euphrates. He's talking about Abraham leaving Ur of the Chaldees. He's talking about Abraham, a pagan, called out to leave his family, his mother, his father, to serve the one and only true God. And he's calling you to do the same. You're going to have to step away from what we would call today tradition. Maybe the tradition of your own parents. Maybe it's something that you've hung on to, but it's not in the Bible. And just maybe your parents got it all wrong. I know many brothers and sisters in this house today that had to walk away from their mother and father's traditions or perish. I hear it all the time. My parents, they didn't go to church, but they loved us. And so we're going to put a small emphasis on church attendance and just have family time on Sunday. Well, except for Christmas and Easter. I hear that twice a year at Christmas and Easter. Or my parents were really good people, but did not follow the Word of God. So what the Bible says is not as important just as doing the best I can. I hear that a lot. Or my parents who, they went to church. But other than that, we did not see Christ in their life at home. So we just read the Bible when the pastor goes to preach. Sadly enough, what I just told you is the American Christian culture. It is that loosey-goosey, and that's not any kind of relationship that God has called you to. God is calling you to a life in Christ that is real and personal. Because what I just read to you is very much the American Christian culture. You have to choose for yourself. Not your father, not your mama. You do the choice. God will hold you accountable. You'll have to make this. And for most of you, what I just read has nothing to do with your parents. It was much worse than that. It was leaving a life of addiction, divorce, misery, and serving other gods. It was much worse than beyond the river of Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham had to leave all to come. And so I ask you again, maybe your parents got it all wrong. You need to serve the God of this Bible. Bishop Wright, late 1800s, writes an article in one of the Christian articles on the East Coast. He said this, "Flight is impossible. The Lord has never intended anything heavier than air to fly other than birds." Not many years later, he had two sons, Orville and Wilbur Wright. We all know who they are. The Wright brothers who told his dad. See, God does have a sense of humor. Bishop Wright, their own father. You see, he got it wrong. Hey, you're going to have to make a choice. And I've had people. I had one lady who wouldn't come to Christ. She said my mother would roll over in her grave if I did. And I said, then you can't have them if you love your mother more than God. And we're making those decisions today. Your parents had the easy life. They didn't have to do the hard stuff and work out their salvation with fear and trembling. Let me tell you something. If it's not going on that way, you're not going to see the face of God. And so you got to make a choice today. God or your parents? Not only that, it says the God of the people we live near. It says in here, the Amorites. Are you going to choose your parents or how about the people you're living around? Because it's alive and well. Haven't you seen it? Haven't you seen the dust-ridden cars with bicycles all over them? In Reno, Nevada? We have it. The culture's right here. In this case, it was the Amorites, a mighty people of the land. Remember the king of the Amorites? He had a bed over 14 feet long. He is a huge man. He is about 13 and a half feet tall. That means in our fellowship hall in there, his head would miss the apex about that much. That's a big dude. And I could see how you might want to follow such an incredible people. And maybe we have giants here. We sure have made them up to be giants. The people of our culture. Today, the God of all culture is love of money, the love of sensuality, the love of self, fame, power. And with all that, the inclusion of drugs and alcohol to mix it all up. We're approaching a perpetual 24/7 Burning Man lifestyle. The moral norms of our culture and that of a Christian living for the Lord is a gap of great proportions anymore. Some of you used to live in the 50s. I did not. Late 40s, when it seemed the world and the Bible were closer. I still go down to Athens, Texas, Miss Sue, and there's the in the newspaper, the Daily Scripture. Can you imagine that in the Reno Gazette Journal? Can you imagine that? I couldn't imagine that. You see, we're going to have to make a choice. It was the same in the day of Joshua, and he calls his people to step away from the present darkness and find life in the Lord God, our Savior. I could probably bring up illustrations. I couldn't watch TV this week without seeing Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus doing her dance. Our little Hannah Montana. It was beyond normal. It was demonic. It was beyond sensual. It was filthy. And she's getting a lot of publicity for it. You're going to have to choose, young people, who you're going to serve today. It says here, another choice you have is God, the true God of Israel, the God of the world. It always astonishes me that they saw the deliverance of the Lord in their life and yet so easily are willing to turn back to false gods. In fact, they still had them with them right here. He said, get rid of them. It's amazing. Just a note, to turn back to those gods in place is turning back to a culture that, by the way, God destroyed on your behalf. And you're going to go back to that place. That's foolishness. They both held the Israelites as slaves, all these cultures. To return would be the inner slavery again. But if you're a slave at heart, slavery's good. You know where your next meal's coming from. You got to make bricks, but at least you know what you're going to do. See, that's not freedom. God has the better plan for you. This choice comes at a high stakes. It will rule every decision in your life to serve the Lord or not. And I'm here to tell you, when you take this book and you lay it before the Lord, and I'm going to serve you, Lord, no matter what, even your nearest and dearest and your hopes have to come in line with that. I will never forget Hope having a dream. She had a dream after we just got engaged that we were living in our home, and it was football night, and guys were coming over, and we were belly bumping, you know, hey, boom, and I was jumping all over, and I had a can of beer in my hand, and I was intoxicated. Well, she come out of that like a drowning man, that dream, and she sat up, and she said, today I'm going to call Mark, and I'm going to ask him if he's a casual drinker, and what he says will be a deal breaker. Now, I didn't know that. Let me tell you something. Most of the decision God placed before you, you don't know the consequences of. Are you going to serve the Lord? I remember her calling me, hey, how are you doing? Good, good. I had this dream. Isn't that funny? And you're Mark, do you drink? Little did I know, my next question would be whether I was going to marry her or not. Because when you lay yourself before this book, that's what it cost. And she was prepared to say no. I think she was relieved to tears when I said, no, I don't drink at all. That's funny. That's a funny dream. Actually, a nightmare. You see, you're going to have to make a choice for God, and that's how big it is. Not only is your choice personal, let me go to my second point. It's an immediate choice. Do you see what it says here? And if it is disagreeable to your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today who you're going to serve. Today, you're going to have to make a choice. Today. You can't put it off. You don't have tomorrow. It's not promised to you. Yesterday's gone. You can't go back. Today is the day of decision. And so it's a choice for right now. That's why life's greatest choice is an urgent choice. Look at what Joshua said. Choose for yourself today whom you serve. The Bible constantly emphasizes the fact for this point. It comes to salvation. Today is the day. Hebrews 3:7, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Psalms 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. It's not promised, is what he's saying. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why is there such great urgency about all this? Because this is the true thing. Life is short and death is certain. Life is short and death is certain. 18 times the Bible speaks of a person's life, and each time it is described as fleeting and uncertain. For James, it's a vapor that appeareth for a moment and is gone. Hey, for Job, it was a messenger speedily running to deliver a message. You know, there's a death angel running to give you a message. And I don't know how far out he is. But he's coming for me too, brothers and sisters. And I don't know how far out he is. Oh man, for the psalmist, it was a dream, seeming like it lasted all night, but really it was only a few seconds. And for the prophet, it was but dust. Life is fleeting, and it is certain. There's coming a day, and I mean, oh, there's a day coming. C.S. Lewis said it like this: when the author and perfecter of our faith walks onto the stage, the play is over. God is going to invade, all right, but what is the good of saying you're on his side then? When you see the whole natural universe melting away like a dream and something else comes crashing in. This time it will be God without disguise. Something so overwhelming that it will strike either irresistible love or irresistible horror into every creature. It will be too late then to choose your side. That will not be the time for choosing. It will be the time when we discover which side we really have chosen. Whether we realize it before or not, now, today, this moment, is our chance to choose the right side. Today is the day. We all have to choose today. Another story of Joe Taylor. He was counseling a family who had lost their brother. It was four brothers. One died. Three brothers were standing in his office and saying, you know, just going through the details, the two younger brothers were weeping. Joe was going through the details. The oldest brother, tall, dignified, well-dressed, obviously had money, man, excused the other two brothers and just had him and Joe there. Joe said, how can I help you? He goes, pulls out his checkbook, clicks his pen, and says, how much, Pastor Joe? He said, we don't charge for funerals here. He goes, no, no, no. How much for my brother to go to heaven? And Joe says, you know, I wasn't very sympathetic. It just fell out of my mouth. He goes, oh, it's too late for that. That arrangement should have happened before he died. But now you got to share the gospel with that gentleman, that maybe someone didn't die in vain. You see, the choice is today. The choice is now. Who are you going to serve? The God of your fathers? The God of this world? Or the God of heaven and earth? The choice is today. And my last point is, not only is it an immediate choice, not only is it an immediate choice, I want you to know that according to Joshua here, it's a family choice. He says here, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Something changes when you get married. A bunch actually changes when you get married. You know what I learned when I got married? There's a little book that you can write just any amount of money on. Sign it, give it to the guy, and he'll take it like it's cash. It's called a checkbook. My wife introduced me into that. She goes, how do you pay your bills? I said, I go to everybody every month. You're kidding me. I didn't have very many bills then, but that's what I did. A lot of things change when you get married, and as I've just spoken about, if your choice is for yourself and it's immediately, now it's for a family. When a husband and wife come together, we get married, we come together, we have to make choices for the family. And it will mean everything for children and ultimately for eternity. I'm sure there is a discussion before this speech with Joshua, between Mr. and Mrs. Joshua. No doubt most of it was already understood. I like that about my relationship with Hope. Because of our raising, a lot of things are just understood. Some of us are not that blessed. But I bet it's a lot of things like me and Hope have done. I bet the conversation went something like this. Honey, we're at a crossroads. What are we going to do? Are we going to serve the Lord or this world? Hope and I have had that conversation. Are we going to purchase that? Because that will take us away from church. Are we going to join that? That's on Wednesday nights. Are we going to do this? Are we going to serve the Lord? That happens all the time in families, every day. Are we going to serve the Lord? Are we going to continue in the way we are going? Are we going to continue this? My daddy watched my mom get drunk and said, we're not going to make it. And that day he decided to choose the Lord. And he went to church that Sunday and got right with God. 2 months later, my mom and daddy were not unequally yoked anymore. You see, we got to make some choices. And we have to do it as a family. It happens more than you think. And both persons are not set on serving God. It's the beginning of the family structure crumbling. That's why the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be bound or yoked together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Now, if you are married to a non-believer, that means you get to leave her or leave him. But that's not how God wanted it. And you know what I'm talking about if you're here today with a spouse that's not. It's tough because you're on two different planes, just like the Bible says. So I come to the place of my first question. Why have I been so blessed in my marriage? Well, after Christ chose us, Hope and I had to choose to serve Him. You want to understand man's responsibility? Here it is. Choose to serve the Lord. And I have not been perfect, and Hope's not been perfect, but we've been consistent. Not consistently imperfect. Maybe a better way of saying it is, what motivated me and Hope to serve the Lord? I suppose we need that. The Bible says you must believe that He is and a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. I like that. He has a reward for you. And I say, first and foremost, my number one motive to serve the Lord is I am so grateful for what He's done for me. And to do anything less would be indeed the most unrighteous thing I could do. That I would forget His benefits. And so Hope and I come together in gratitude, serving the Lord that saved us from so many horrible things. This is the first great sin of any people refusing to serve the Lord, and that is forgetting to be thankful. My wife, I kid you not, thanks me every day for something. She thanks the Lord a lot more than that. Now, that's a thankfulness we need in our heart. How thankful are you? When's the last time you thanked the Lord? When's the last time you looked at your husband and said, thank you for providing for our family? When's the last time you were thankful and had gratitude? It'll keep you serving the Lord because it'll remind you of all His blessings. Count them one by one. See what the Lord has done. Hey, number two, for the pity of my children. For the pity of my children, I serve the Lord. These are the apples of my eye. Who I and my wife will give an account before the Lord. Do you not want your children to know the Lord? If so, serve Him today. Serve Him in integrity and truth with fear in your home where they see it. It must happen. Not only should you be grateful and have pity on your own family, but we should do it under the control and authority of God's Word. This is the book you must choose. Above all other authority. Tonight, we're going to see a video on evolution versus God, and it will be abundantly clear to you how blessed you are to be a Christian. That you have not been deceived. I want every one of you, you will enjoy it. I couldn't get it off my mind. I had my sermon set, ready to go, and I changed everything. It touched me so much. It's by Ray Comfort. Is the Bible the authority of your life? It has to be. The guiding light, the compass. What does it do? It opens heaven's doors and exposes the gates of hell. And we must follow it. Lastly, if gratitude does not move you to God, if love of your children doesn't move you to serve Him, if the Bible and the truth of knowing it and guiding you doesn't serve you, then may I give you this. How about we consider the terrors of the Lord? Persuade you to put in practice the resolution of this text. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Remember, the time will come, and that perhaps very shortly, when we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, where we must give a solemn and strict account of how we have had our conversations in our homes, in our respective families, in these world. How will you endure to see your children and servants, who, by the way, ought to be your joy and crown and rejoicing in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of them may come out of so many swift witnesses against you, cursing the father that begot them, the womb that bare them, and the day they ever entered into your godless house? Think not the damnation which men must endure for their own sins will be sufficient, that they need to load themselves with the additional guilt of being accessories to the damnation of even their own children. That is what we're talking about in the United States of America today. That a day like this is coming, lest he pluck you away and there be none to deliver you. May the fear of the Lord move you to serve him. For this is the beginning of wisdom, is to fear the Lord. Your reaction will be automatic. Just let me tell you that. On many occasions, I've, in my squad car or my uniform, pulled up to crimes in progress. I remember once I pulled up to a scene of a huge fight in front of the house, and the little boy saw me and just took off after me. Something bad was happening. As the people fled into the house, this little boy ran to me, and I scooped him up while they ran away. I had a lady half-dressed, screaming her head off, middle of the night on Taylor Street, screaming, running at my police car while the perpetrators were running the other way. For most part, when I got on scene, everybody left. What I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters, is God, the judge, will show up one day, and it'll be an automatic response for you on which way you go. Yes. You will either flee to Jesus, the God that you love, that you've been serving, or if you've not been serving him in your heart, in integrity and truth, you will flee the other way. I want to ask you a question today, church. If he came back today, which way would you flee? Paul says, I have a reward waiting for me in heaven, the crown of righteousness, which he shall give to me personally, not only me, but to everyone that loves his appearing. Are you in love with his appearing? Would you flee from him because of the wrath to come? Or would you run to him even though he had a sword drawn? I want you to know your heart will tell you the truth right now. This question you cannot avoid. If you were to flee, choose today to flee to him. Right now, choose Christ. It means your life. Do you know God like this? To choose Christ is a glorious life. Would you come to Christ?